Life isn't about avoiding the bruises. It's about collecting the scars to prove that we showed up for it. Join Nikki Seberini for the next hour as she explores heroism through illness. There is a warrior inside each of us. This is LifeLinks with the DL Link. LifeLinks is a funding initiative of the DL Link.
Well, welcome back to the show, the DL Link Show on 101.9 Chai FM. Just a reminder that, you know, if you have to leave and you can't stop you doing what you have to do, the show will be podcasted. You will be able to get the full show tomorrow on Chai FM website. So don't stress about that. Also, we were talking about charity a couple of weeks ago, and it really, really went so well. But that was round one. Round one done and dusted. But actually, we're just getting started. The bonus round has officially begun. And I'll tell you more about that later, because I actually think that that is not the case. And we're just going to rather continue with our guest, Brett, who is a Oxford accredited trauma, grief and mental health therapist, Brett Vallis, and an internationally recognized Sifu of Shaolin Kung Fu. Brett, welcome. Lovely to have you on the show. I just got lost for a moment there. Welcome, welcome.
Thank you very much. Thank you for inviting me.
Oh, it's such a pleasure. Welcome, welcome. So how interesting. What is a recognized Sifu of Shaolin Kung Fu?
The Shaolin Kung Fu is the Kung Fu that originated in the Shaolin Temple about 1,500 years ago. And you study for a number of years, 20 plus years, and you eventually achieve the title of Sifu. So I was pretty much, I started when I was about 20 and I just forgot to stop. And now at my age, I'm officially one, yes.
You're officially, what drew you to it, Brett? I'm fascinated.
Interestingly enough, I'd always had this vision of myself as a child, traveling by myself, they call them Ronins in Japan, just a traveling warrior who spends a lot of time by himself introspecting and then is available to help and assist people in bad situations as a warrior. And I never really gave much thought to it. And then I slowly found out my life was sort of drifting in that direction. The choices that I was making were aligned with that, with helping people, with being introspective, with challenging myself, with learning about myself. And slowly that just evolved. And over a number of years, I've got to the point where I've done a lot of work internally. I've done a lot of work externally. I've done a lot of work with the medical industry. I'm now in the position where, well, I've been in a position where I can offer it to people for a while now. And I'm offering it to this particular village where I stay, Wongo Margate area. And I think it's going to be very, very useful.
So, I mean, the world needs it, Brett. We know that. The world needs healing. Human beings need healing. And so that's quite a thing. That's, as you said, you've dedicated a lot of your life from the age of 20. You said you went there and you've been there ever since. And so then obviously you have leaned towards, with the helping people, trauma and grief and mental health, because you then became Oxford accredited. So did you feel that that was the area that was lacking the most, or what were your thoughts?
No, actually it wasn't. I was cycling up Signal Hill in Cape Town, and I came across a resuscitation in progress on the side of the road. Unfortunately, the gentleman passed away, but I saw that there was a whole team and roles and responsibilities around helping people deal with immediate trauma in terms of preventing to them, and then also teams of people dealing with people that have had trauma happen to them and have had to deal with the outcome of that. So that was the start for me to on the paramedic path. And so I got into the paramedic path first.
Wow. And being a paramedic, I mean, you must have seen some really frightening, hectic stuff. Hence you saying you've done a lot of work on yourself, right? Because to get through that and then to identify that the people who you're helping, there's this short-term immediate trauma and then there's the long-term trauma. Mm-hmm. What an extraordinary journey, Brett.
So, you know, first of all, you do the training and you get on the road and you're just so overwhelmed and so overexposed to traumatic events. I remember on one of my first shifts, a poor six-day-old infant had drowned in her mother's formula because her mother was living in a shack in Cape Town and she had no access to hot water or running water or electricity or anything like that. So that's the type of trauma you get exposed to, as well as the physical trauma. For me, the socioeconomic and the emotional trauma and the mental trauma of people dealing with these type of situations is more important than the trauma of a person who's been not more important in the sense of more important to them, but it's less, it affects me less than the trauma of communities and individuals in the communities being exposed to socioeconomic issues.
Yeah. So let's speak to trauma.
You
know, we talk about the big traumas and the smaller traumas, but a trauma is a trauma. And a trauma is experienced in the body. And correct. Perhaps, Brett, you can just talk to us about why it is that trauma stays in the body. Why isn't it that we can process and be able to move on from these really traumatic moments in our lives, be it a very big trauma or be it a slightly smaller trauma? What is it about the human psyche that we find that so difficult to move on from?
Well, they haven't quite figured that out exactly. Obviously, the psychologists are still working on that. But there are a couple of theories going around. Most of the theories are based on neuroscience at the moment because in the last 30 years, neuroscience has exploded and is very helpful, except it's not helpful in dealing with the mental. So it might be helpful in dealing with the physical aspect of the brain, but it's not really helpful in dealing with the mental and emotional aspects of an individual. So there's actually two types of trauma. There's trauma that you experience yourself, okay? And there's secondary trauma. That is you being, you seeing trauma or witnessing trauma. And we witness trauma on a daily basis in mainstream television, it sells. So they pump the trauma as much as possible and they get everybody very frightened. And fear is a particularly powerful tool that can be used on large groups of people. So the response in the body, I mean, the trauma cascade response is a natural response of the body. It kept us alive when we were being attacked by things that wanted to eat us. But at that time they were able to experience that traumatic event, and for some reason they were able to just move on from it. Maybe they weren't cognitively advanced enough for it to ruminate inside their head and worry about it. Or it was just part of life and it was to be expected and it was quite normal for them. Nowadays, our trauma seems to stick with us. We're exposed to it regularly. I mean, there's triggers on absolutely everything nowadays in TV itself, but there's triggers on books, there's triggers on stories and everything else. What happens is that the mind, it's a mental thing in a sense that the mind ruminates on that traumatic experience. So when you have a traumatic experience, the physical body records that entire experience. Okay, every single aspect of that experience and stores it for us. Necessarily retrieve that ourselves, sometimes through amnesia, but also sometimes we just forget. We can't necessarily retrieve that, but it's still stored. Okay, so the body has still stored that trauma. And that's the important part of not being able to get part of it, is that the body has still stored that trauma. Some say it's stored in the cellular level. Some say it's stored in the subconscious level, and when we make contact with either the subconscious, information rises to us, reminds us about the trauma, and then the brain, the cognitive brain, starts to bring all of these thoughts together from that experience, and you relive that trauma. Not to such a degree and not to an unsafe degree, but you relive that trauma within your body. Your body reacts as though that trauma was happening to it there and then, which then re-encodes that memory. So you get it encoded again. And if you respond badly to the first reenactment, then the recoding kind of, it degenerates. And this is why you need to, when you enact or when you feel that that traumatic experience happening in your body, that's why you need to sit with it and you need to evaluate it carefully so that you don't come to any wrong conclusions and start training your neurons and your mind to react in a certain way. You challenge yourself at that point in time and you say, is this how it happened? Am I remembering it correctly? Is it this? And how can we reframe it? And how can we make it a little bit more positive? I don't want to get into the toxic positivity currently around at the moment, but how can we reframe it so that it becomes a more healthy experience for us?
So, Brett, people who are listening and go, okay, how do I do it? Do I do it on my own? Is this a place I want to visit on my own? Do I want to revisit that trauma? Because obviously, as you're saying, if you can revisit, reframe it, shift it, then it has a chance of moving out of the body and you're not having this re-trauma, this trigger and re-triggering all the time. So, and you've done this kung fu, and that's an embodied practice, right? So there could probably be a physical release. What do you, because I know that you have set up a mental health support group with SADAG. What do you do with people for that person who can't do it on their own? Do you need a facilitator to do it, or can you revisit this awful event on your own?
Okay, so most people don't like to revisit this awful event on their own. However, they don't have much choice, because at 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock in the morning, it intrudes. It happens. Okay, and we also have something called intrusive thoughts, which slowly develops over time. When you think about these things, you start to have these intrusive thoughts, these negative thoughts, which don't help you. So in order to do something about it, I like to take guest mentioned holistic, okay? But from my perspective, holistic means physical, emotional, as well as your spiritual beliefs, whatever they may be. Okay, so what you have to do is you have to approach this subject from all of those different levels. Okay, to approach the subject from physically, am I safe? Yes, I'm safe. Okay, so I can start to deal with that sympathetic nervous system response because I am safe, and I can hopefully allow the SNS to release itself and us to go back into parasympathetic nervous system response, which is rest, ingested, relax. And then you also need to go into the emotional space and say, what do I feel about that, and unpack that emotionally. Now, when you do that alone, dark work and difficult work is always done alone. You can have a facilitator there to steer you in the right direction, but they shouldn't necessarily be giving you any specific advice. And that is what the support groups are specifically for. They're not facilitated therapy sessions. No one is there to tell anybody else what their trauma is like, how they feel their trauma, how it's symptomatic, and how they should be treating their trauma. Yeah. They just come together to share their experiences of their trauma and how it affects their daily lives. And just that sharing is that emotional connection with an individual that you don't get when you completely by yourself.
Okay.
So by connecting with people, and if you connect with more than one person, it makes a tremendous difference in how you express yourself, both emotionally, and also it gives you an opportunity to listen to yourself at a cognitive level and get some feedback from yourself as to, am I being accurate here with myself? Am I being fair with myself? Is it truthful, and can I rely on what I'm saying? So you get all those levels when you go to something like a support group.
Yeah.
A therapist, obviously, and a one-on-one therapist obviously is very, very beneficial, but hugely expensive, private in South Africa, and completely not available in
for
states.
Everybody. Yeah, absolutely. I hear you. Britt, we're going to take a break,
sure.
And we'll be back after the break. Please stay with us.
Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Welcome back. Just an announcement for runners and riders, or both, and of course our incredible DLink supporters. Something big is coming for the first time ever. We're heading to the Cape Town Marathon on its journey to become one of the majors. It's a new city, a new race, same powerful purpose. So whether you've pounded the pavement with us before or you're ready for your first big challenge, this is your moment. Join Team DLink. Help us make it huge, loud, proud, and deeply meaningful. And hey, riders, mark your calendar. Ride Joburg is coming up on October the 26th. So save that date. It's one mission. It's two cities, both of them Sundays. So let's run, let's ride, let's make it count. If you want more information, email events@dllink.co.za. events@dllink.co.za. We have on the show today Brett Vallis, who's an Oxford accredited trauma, grief, and mental health therapist, as well as an internationally recognized Sifu of Shaolin Kung Fu, talking about trauma, talking about how important it is to be able to process trauma, and that when you can move and you can connect with others and have a support group, it makes all the difference. So very quickly, Brett, before we say goodbye, how can do people have to be in the Margate area, or can they join you online?
No, it's a face-to-face. Okay. Specifically, I deal with people on an empathic level, so it's about having people in the room with you that is very therapeutic towards everybody in the room. Zoom is useful. It's nice. It's useful. It might give you some ideas and everything, but you still have to take it back with you and then dwell on it yourself or something like that. Everything.
That's another reason. Yes. Sorry, we're running out of time, Brett. If people want to get hold of you, how can they get hold of you?
Okay. So you can either contact SADC directly, okay, on SADC.org and ask them for the KwaZulu-Natal Margate, or you can call Brett on 069-1501-348, and I repeat that, 069-1501-348. You can call me
anytime. Thank you very much. Thank you, Brett. I'm so sorry. We've run out of time. Thank you very much for joining us. It's really been lovely having you on the show. For me, Nikki Seberini, until next week, you take care. I hope you enjoyed the show as much as I did. Take care and goodbye.